Well, hey, everyone. Merry Christmas and welcome to episode number 17 of the Other Six podcast. My name is Chad and I'm your host. With me in the studio once again, my holly jolly co-host, our worship pastor, Matt Collins. Matt, how are you today, sir?
Jolly.
You are holly and jolly.
Yeah, I'm both, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, tell me, what was that new song we did Sunday, yesterday?
Highest Hallelujah.
I really like, are we doing that one again sometime soon? I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Did you write that?
No.
As you were singing it, I was like, did Matt write this?
I wish.
Yeah.
No,
well,
I did not.
Well, you've done such a good job.
You wrote a really good Christmas song that we are going to sing, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hope in These Arms.
Yeah.
We're bringing that one back.
Yeah, when are we doing that one?
This week.
This week.
Oh, good.
This week.
Okay. Who wrote that one?
I did.
No, not that one. The one that we sang that Chad was talking about.
Passion.
Passion. Okay. Those are usually my first two choices. Either right. Matt wrote this or Passion.
That's right.
Hillsong, you know, third.
Yeah.
A distant third behind Matt.
Yeah, but you know, we're doing all this Christmas music. You were holly and jolly, and I like it. And
you kind of caught me off guard when the first thing you said for our podcast was Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
it's that
you
time
say
of year?
That sooner December. Than I do. I mean, I usually wait another week or so.
Once December hits,
you just greet everybody with a Merry
That's
Christmas.
Right. Okay.
All right.
It's
I like
the,
that.
Tis
up,
the season.
Put up the Christmas tree.
I kind of feel empowered right now.
Man. Absolutely.
I feel like I've been given freedom.
Yeah,
you are deputized to
Thanksgiving is over. That's we can now say.
But I usually don't say Merry Christmas until like it's actually Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Gotcha.
I mean, I don't know why that is, but I'm just now realizing this in the last 30 seconds. But from now on, it's Merry Christmas.
It's Merry
absolutely.
Christmas.
Yeah. Right.
December
absolutely.
1st. Merry Christmas.
And obviously joining us once again in the studio, our lead pastor, Adam Bishop. How are you today, sir?
Good Merry
weekend.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
I'm doing good. You know, we had a great weekend as a church, so celebrating a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, you know, after the Iron Bowl, you brought a lot of comfort and consolation to me, and so I want you to know I'm here to return that for you as a Georgia fan after this past weekend.
I don't know why I expected anything less.
Right.
I mean, listen, the cycle of being a Georgia fan is get your
it's
team
vicious.
Overhyped only to just be let down, right?
It's a very vicious process.
You know, I was actually talking to some Alabama fans, you know, all week, running to folks and different things, and I told them, like, it's not a given that Georgia's going to win this game.
Right.
I just didn't think we'd get run out of the stadium.
It was pretty bad.
Did they even show up? No. I mean, here's the thing. Look, again, these are young men. They're 18, 19, 20 years old, both teams. They're giving their best. They're also students. They're studying for finals.
Yeah.
They got a lot going on. So, you know, you want them to compete, have a good time playing. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose.
Right.
I just wish it could be my team that actually won.
They were too busy studying.
So,
let me tell you,
that was not happening probably.
You still have a chance. We're in the playoffs.
That's
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Michigan may run us out of the stadium too. They're a good team. But, yeah, I mean, who knows, right? I like the playoff. I really caught Sam and Jacob off guard when I told them that the playoff has only been around since 2013.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, whoa, 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 what? Like, what happened before then? And I was like, I don't got time to explain this.
Alabama just won it before then, too.
During this game. But, the playoff is a nice little, okay, we'll see what happens.
Right.
But, I would have preferred that we would have won. We didn't. Life marches on.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have expected the Braves and the Bulldogs, right?
Oh, come on.
Year.
Too
I mean,
much,
that would have been
man.
Too much.
Too much.
But, Chad, we did win a championship last week. And by we, I don't just mean Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. We, as a Pike Road community, our high school football team won the state championship.
By a wide margin.
State championship games aren't usually 51-14, right? So they went up there to Birmingham, and, you know, I think there's – I haven't looked it up lately, so, you know, I may misquote this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably 750 students at Pike Road.
Right.
The team we played, there's 2,500 students in their high school.
Oh, wow.
And we boat raced them. So I'm so proud of those guys. You talk about work.
Yeah.
Both teams. But, you know, these young men have been working not just since July, but, you know, this is year-round. And the program's only been in its fourth year.
Right.
To win a
That's
state
incredible.
Championship in its fourth year. Couldn't be prouder of those guys. And it is a really fun thing to get to celebrate as a community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was awesome. I saw a lot of signs last week.
Yeah.
You know, go Patriots, Pike Road. So to see a community come around that team was really exciting.
Yeah,
and, hey, state champs.
Yeah.
You know, usually when you're driving to communities, you see like the sign that says state champs. So we got to get that up here somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't know who we need to call about that.
Well, I'm sure our buddy Neil can take
care of it. Hey, Neil can get a sign, mate. All right, sweet.
Hey, Neil. We'll get a sign, man.
Neil gets a shout out on the podcast.
So we'll get a Pike Road state champion sign somewhere in Pike Road and celebrate that. And for listeners, maybe you just moved here and you're like, I thought Vaughn Forest is in Montgomery. Yeah, we are. We're in Montgomery, mm-hmm. state capital. But literally a mile east of our campus, the town of Pike Road starts.
That's right.
So in our church, we've got obviously a bunch of people who live in Montgomery, but we've got just as many who live in Pike Road.
Right.
So we really kind of, we talk about our community as Montgomery and Pike Road. So awesome that they won that game. Really great.
Well, we can celebrate both those communities.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, very exciting. And so congratulations to the Patriots. But this past weekend, we kind of mentioned it just a little bit earlier, we had a big weekend here at Vaughn Forest Church, and we actually have a lot to celebrate here at Vaughn Forest Church. So I guess the first thing that I want to do today as we kind of begin our discussion, what happened this past weekend was Compassion Weekend. Let's talk a little bit about that, what all happened, and kind of the results from some of that, because honestly, like, it was kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where to start. So let's start with Cecilia, since she was so awesome. Yeah. So Cecilia, what was her last name, Chad?
Do not put me in a corner.
First
like
of
this.
All, Cecilia is an incredibly kind and gracious person.
Right.
As I kept rehearsing her last name backstage, me and Chad and Cecilia were standing there. Every time I would say it, she would say it like correctly.
But I felt like I was saying it the exact same way.
And I was like, so I say it like this. And so Cecilia, if you're listening, I'm sorry that I didn't say your last name correctly. I tried really hard. But she was amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So if you missed the service yesterday, you haven't caught it online yet, she taught the bulk of the teaching time. Mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, set up some things, came back at the end. But we gave her that time to share because her story is just so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in Kenya and finding out at the age of 9, Bob and Colleen, a couple in Ames, Iowa, which I've never been to Iowa. Have you guys ever been to Iowa? I hear they grow a lot of corn there, but that's all I know about Iowa.
No.
Sorry, our stereotypical podcast. The fine folks in Ames are like, there's more here than corn.
That's
you know?
Right.
So I think Iowa State's in Iowa.
I'm going to get an angry letter to the podcast of, you know, from people in Iowa. They're like, yeah,
if we find out today we have somebody listening to this in Iowa, that would be awesome.
We'll have them on the podcast sometime.
No, we won't, but that'd be awesome. Because they'll just talk about corn.
That's
anyway,
true.
Anyway, so I apologize. Harley, we're going to have to cut that out. Hey, we mentioned Harley 5 minutes in. All right. So where was I? Colleen.
Yeah.
Bob and Colleen sponsors Cecilia.
Right.
She's now a professor at the University of Memphis. She and her husband live there, and she has an earned PhD in geophysics, which I learned, there's like something so random. Like, earned PhD for the rest of the world is like, yeah, how else would you get a PhD? Just get in the ministry. They'll hand them out left and right. Like, sometimes pastors get these made up doctors. I digress. Anywho, she earned PhD geophysics, a real scientist.
Yeah.
She's brilliant and shared an amazing story. That this couple, you know, Bob and Colleen, wonderful state of Iowa, $38 a month, changes their life.
Mm. Right.
So she shares the story, and we've been saying for a few weeks now to our church, look, we've got this village in Peru. There's kids. They've got needs similar to Cecilia's growing up in Kenya, but kind of some similar circumstances in Peru. We've committed to adopt 100 kids. You know, we challenged our folks, you know, to adopt them. And needless to say, our people blew us away.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we would hit it because I've just seen the generosity of our people before. But I was not anticipating what would happen. So I don't have the number because it keeps changing because people keep coming by our office.
Well, I can tell you what the number was on Sunday.
Okay,
at the end of the day on Sunday, we were at 160.
That's incredible.
160. So 160.
And since then, there's been about another 10 or 15.
Today.
That have been
this morning. That's correct.
Yeah. People came by the office. So let's say 175.
Yeah.
Man.
Safe to say, right?
Yeah.
So we have 175 kids that have been sponsored by Vaughn Forest Church in the last 48 hours. And if you're just listening and you're going, whoa, what? Like, how? I thought there'd be some next Sunday, right?
Right.
There's not. So if you want to still swing by the office or email one of us, or If we do have some extra ones, I guess they'll be somewhere on Sunday.
We do have some extra ones.
That's how much I know about how this place works. I just get up there and preach. So tell us what'll be happening, Chad.
Yeah. So now here's the thing, though. We have some extra ones.
Which that's by design for me to stay out of this stuff because I just mess it up. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. We'll take care of the logistics. But no, we have some extra ones. Okay. But our plan originally is to put them on a tree outside of Tunnel B where folks can come
one
by.
One of our 75 trees. Oh, the one outside of Tunnel B.
Well, we're actually getting another tree.
We are.
A tree, a compassion tree just for this.
All right. That was the plan. I don't know if we're going to have any left.
I don't know if we're going to make it to Sunday because so many folks are calling wanting to sponsor these children. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
So, clearly, what do we say? But thank you. I mean, great job, Vaughn Forrest. And we're going to talk, I don't know the order of questions today, but we are going to talk a lot about our village in Peru and kind of give you a little bit more background about all of that. But man, what a day. And, you know, all I was thinking about all afternoon and all last evening was after hearing Cecilia's story, our church just exponentially multiplied that by over 170.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's 170 stories that, make no mistake about it, God was already telling. God planned these children's lives. He knit them together in their mother's womb. We are joining into that story, but the way we're joining into that story is going to change their story and put them on a new path. So to see what God's going to do through the lives of these kids that were sponsored, and to see what God's going to do in our lives as we grow and learn and are blessed to all this. So we're really excited. And our three boys, Donovan, Miguel, and Pedro, and they're all born in 2015. Henry was born in 2015. So this morning over breakfast, Henry and I were arranging the pictures by order of birthday. And so we've got one in June and two in July, and he's born in September. So I was trying to explain to him, they're actually all a little older than you, buddy. And so, but I'm hoping that these kind of conversations are happening in every household now. You know, you've got the picture, you've got the name, you know, you see where they live, you can pray for them. Soon begin to write letters, as Cecilia talked about yesterday. So, man, just awesome, awesome thing.
Before we jump to the next thing, you know, I want to talk about the compassion journey that they set up here in our East Auditorium on Saturday and Sunday.
That was awesome.
It was. We had the opportunity, Christy and I, to go through with our daughters, Lena and Ava. And as you journey through the story of a girl named Patience, I believe her name was, and she talked about what had happened with her, and you saw the living conditions, and you saw what $38 a month can, the kind of change that can bring in a life. I saw the change in the realization happening in my girls. And it was incredible to see. And so, you know, we picked two of the kids. We let the girls pick them. And when we got home, they were so eager. They wanted to write letters to them already. And
that's so awesome,
and
man.
It was very interesting because it's Christmas time. You know, we talk about what do you want for Christmas. The things they are wanting for Christmas, they're starting to realize how blessed they are. And so they're wanting to turn that generosity around. And so, you know, not just the fact that we're able to, God gives us this opportunity to lean in and help change a life, to join him in that work, like you said. But seeing the change that it's making in my family's life, it's just, what a blessing. Incredible.
Well, man, let's talk about the village that we're adopting,
So, you know, I mentioned our boys, and so if you picked up a packet and you have yours, it will give you a little bit of a description of the community. So I'm somewhat familiar with Peru. When I was in high school, I actually I was preparing to get into, like, international studies, diplomacy, some type of I thought that's where I was going to end up. Did mock kind of model United Nations debating when I was in high school, and would go to New York and do all that. So that's what I was really preparing for. So in that season of my life, I could have told you anything you wanted to know about most countries in the world because I was that kid. I was really so, you know, I've got a little bit of a working knowledge of Peru, but since Saturday, like, I've been reading everything I can about Peru. And what sparked it a lot was when I read the back of I'm looking at Pedro's card right here. I took a picture of it, so I'm looking at my phone. It gives the location of his village, and I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation on this, but thankfully we have a Spanish service here at Vaughn Forest, so all of my Spanish brothers and sisters can help me out so that I can pronounce these things correctly. Villa Batanes is the name of the village in the Morapón province in the Piura region of Peru. So that was a lot of, I was like, whoa, what? So that kind of sparked my interest. Like, you know, what does all that mean? And so what I found out was that there are 25 regions in Peru, and those 25 regions have 196 provinces.
Oh, wow.
So 196 provinces are organized into 25 different regions in Peru. And so it's a large country. There's 32 million people that live there. And the one thing I did know about Peru before yesterday was there's three very distinct climates in Peru. It's one of the few, if not only, countries in the world that's like this, where you have an entire coastal region of the country, because it's right there on the Pacific Ocean. So when I say coastal region, like what comes to mind, that's what it is.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
And then immediately you have a mountainous region because the Andes Mountains go through there. The highest point in Peru is 22,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
So when I lived in Colorado, people would brag on hiking 14ers. So they would hike 14,000. This is a 22er. I don't know if that's a term, right? So I don't know what happens when you hike 22,000 feet, but I'm not going to find out, right? So 22,000 feet.
Right.
And then right on the other side of that, you're in the jungle. You're literally like backing up to the Amazon River. So you've got a jungle region, a mountain region, and a coastal region all in one country. So it's kind of important to know where is our village in that region.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If the beauty of Google Earth, I mean, it really is fantastic. If you ever get a rainy Saturday, just get a phone, an iPad, or a computer and spend some time on Google Earth. You know, one time I didn't have anything to do. I was, you know, I think Morgan was, you know, she was gone. I had all three boys for like several hours, which let me just pause here for a second.
Sure.
When a dad says he was babysitting his kids, like that's a big faux pas. Like you're the dad. That's
right.
You're parenting.
That's
your kids, right?
Yeah.
I had to babysit all weekend. No, you're just being a dad.
Yeah.
Anywho,
yeah.
So I was being the dad and trying to think of something fun to do. And I just took him on a tour all over the world through Google Earth.
Okay.
And just, you know, let's go there. And like we'd go to London, you know, so it's kind of fun to like do that sometimes. Anyway. So if you pull up our village or this province or this region in Peru, like you'll see where it's at. And it's right at the base of where the mountains kind of start.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm sure the scenery there is beautiful. I'm sure the landscape is just unbelievable. And yet in the midst of that is incredible poverty.
Right. Mm.
And so interestingly enough, on the card, the town that it lists that's closest to our village is a town called Chulucanas. And it says it's 6 miles. Our village is 6 miles southeast of Chulucanas. And Chulucanas is a little bit more of like a town. I mean, you can find like some Google images of the town. Mm-hmm. And they're known for their pottery.
Huh. Okay.
So, you know,
okay.
Justin, our next gen pastor, his wife, Katie, like she does awesome pottery.
Yeah.
So immediately I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So when we go there, like we can check out. Although the article I read said it's kind of hard to fly with it because it's pretty fragile. So I'm about to pack some bubble paper or something.
Right,
I don't
right.
know. But and then the other thing about Peru that it's kind of known for is Machu Picchu, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, which is like a 36-hour drive from our village.
Okay.
But that's why they have planes, you know.
Yeah.
So it is worth, you know, if you sponsored a child, you know, this weekend, like spend some time like reading up on Peru, studying Peru, learning about Peru. Obviously, if you fly in, you're going to fly into the capital city of Lima, which is a major city, 8-9 million people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, you'd fly to our region and then get to our village. So, you know, when we were looking at this, you know, and PJ and I, interestingly enough, we were supposed to go to Peru in May of 2020.
Right.
And then obviously all of that got shut down. And when we first started talking with Compassion, we wanted to know, like, where's your need? You know, where are you looking to have a church? And this was kind of one of the areas that they brought to us. And so we prayed about it and kind of felt like the Lord was leading us there. But now that I kind of know where it is and we're kind of having some faces and we're seeing the kids, man, I'm really fired up because I quickly see all of the possibilities of what is about to be.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get down there in the first quarter of 2022. Take one of the guys in our church who does a lot of things with missions. He and I go down there, get some video footage, get some pictures, talk to the pastors, talk to the parents. You know, anytime you are the Americans doing missions, you're there to serve the folks who are doing things day after day after day after day.
Right.
You know, so we're not going in acting like now that Vaughn Forrest is here, you know, things can get better.
Right.
We're going in to serve.
Yeah.
So we want to find out what does that look like?
Right.
You know, and as we find out what those needs are, we can talk about them to our church family. And then there may be some people in our church who go, oh, I can do that.
Right.
Whether
right.
it's a construction project or digging a well or medical or dental or education, whatever. So, you know, I want to try to get down there as quickly as I can to try to get some type of an idea of what that is so we can begin to plan. And then at some point, we will be able to, you know, take teams down there. And at some point, hopefully, some of y'all who are listening, maybe you get to go meet your kid, you know. That's not the end-all be-all, right?
You know,
if we get down there and they've got us working on something and we can't – but going down there and finding that out, I think, will be helpful, you know.
Right.
Because based on everything I've seen from our village, it looks like that it's pretty accessible, that we could get to it and that those things could happen. So I could not be more fired up about this.
Yeah.
And, again, to just think – you know, this time a few days ago, all 170, 175 kids, you know, weren't sponsored, and now they are.
Right.
And we're really, in many ways, adopting this village. And I'm hopeful that many of us will be able to actually be in that village in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. So really exciting.
That's great.
So cool, man.
So, Adam, let me ask you this. How do you see our work with Compassion with this Village Improved fitting in overall for our, you know, our mission strategy in the world?
Yeah, so we're really blessed here. Jeff McFarland, one of our members, leads a ministry called Trek. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has projects going in different countries, you know, all over the world. We've also got a member of our church, Greg Lipscomb, is actually a doctor here locally in our community, who does some missions work in different countries. You know, Norm has done some, your father-in-law, who used to be one of our pastors on staff till he retired, still a member here in the church. I've done some ministry over in the nation of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Two Christmases ago, we built a ministry center in the nation of Georgia to train Iranian pastors. Yeah. Folks who are new to Vaughn Forest may not know about that, right?
Right.
You know, Jeff is currently building a maternity ward in Uganda. He's got some projects going on in Cuba. And then in the past, he's had a lot of things happening in Nepal. And that's a little challenging right now. Everything about missions has shifted with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is it's a moving target. So what we're trying to do as a church right now is make sure we're still heeding the call that Jesus gave us, which is to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. So right now, we mobilized 170 families over the last weekend in global missions. Hmm. But that's step one.
Right.
You know, so that's not going to go away. We're going to have all of that going now with Peru. But as we get into the new year, hopefully we begin to see, okay, what are those needs now? You can't get information out of Cuba right now.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, pray for the nation of Cuba during the season. Jeff's been over to Uganda, and he's been sending us pictures. His contacts are letting us know how the maternity ward is going. We helped rebuild some houses in Nepal last year, right? So we've got contacts in all of these places, and we're staying in communication, and when needed, we're able to financially support. But what we're trying to do is keep our infrastructure ready, because if we wait until we can actually go to get ready, we won't be ready to go.
Right.
So we're making sure our passports are updated. We're making sure we have all our contacts. We're making sure we monitor travel restrictions and where they're lessened and where there's options. And we're not going to just wait until all of that's clear before we take steps.
Right.
So we're taking steps in the midst of all the ambiguity. But I feel like now we've really, that never went away during COVID. But now I feel like that this step we took this weekend is really kind of going to chart us a course for this new year, and which is why we included it in our offering, our special offering.
Yeah. Right.
We weren't just going to talk about being a light here in our immediate community. Obviously, we're going to do that. And we're going to talk a lot about that over the next month or so.
Right.
Yeah.
We wanted
to
start with this global focus first, though, because we're committed to that as a church. And I'm really excited to see what those steps look like and how God directs our path. Because this time next year, we're going to be talking about something that we didn't even know about right now, right?
So,
this isn't the end-all be-all, but it certainly is getting us in the right direction, which I'm really excited about.
So let's shift gears and talk about everything that's coming up.
Yeah, you listed
a lot coming up. Yeah.
You listed a lot of stuff.
You listed a lot of stuff
last week and then yesterday. Yeah. All kinds
so
of cool stuff.
Let's shift gears a little bit.
You tell me about this Christmas party, okay?
Okay.
Because if I try to describe it, I don't know if I'll do it justice.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I've always believed is that church should be fun.
Yes,
it absolutely should be fun.
Definitely.
I was doing a Bible study with my daughters when they were younger, and we were talking about when the little kids ran to Jesus, and I asked each one of them. I said, "Why do you think the little kids ran to Jesus?" And one of them said, I can't remember who it was, said, "I think Jesus was probably really fun." And I said, "Absolutely,
what a great
I think he was fun."
Yeah.
The other one was probably like, "Yeah, he had candy," but you know, which can be fun. Candy is fun. And so, we want to, you know, I love the fact that Vaughn Forest is generous and we are all about, taking the gospel to our community, to the ends of the earth. But yeah, we also want to have fun and have a good time. So this Sunday, December 12th, if you're listening before December 12th, you are going to want to invite your friends and family to Vaughan Forest Church. We're going to have a great time with our Sunday morning Christmas party. And we're calling it that because it's a Christmas Sunday party morning. On Sunday morning. So but you'll know exactly what it is.
To me, that's one of my favorite parts about this.
Yeah.
Is I get the party while also going to church.
That's right.
I don't have to schedule something else.
That's right.
Like it's and it's not replacing church.
That's right.
Like it's going to be happening all at the same time.
Yeah, that's
I love
right.
it. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. So we're going to have, we'll have our live nativity. So we'll have all kinds of animals out there and it's going to be a blast. You'll be able to go by and see them. I have to caution you against sticking your fingers in the animals' mouths. Don't do that.
Which honestly is a good rule to follow.
That's
just
right.
about every day
yeah,
of the
no
year.
No matter what you
yeah.
do. Yeah,
is
absolutely.
Is the camel going to be here?
There will be a camel here. It is not the same camel as last year.
Yeah, but this is like, not a petting zoo.
No, this is no. not a petting
zoo. So, yeah, these
that's
animals
right.
aren't, they're not wanting you to come up and pet them.
That's right.
Just
yeah.
look at them.
Yeah, hang,
take
yeah.
some pictures.
Yeah, be grateful.
Wave. Hey, camel.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll have our live nativity. That'll be set up outside as you're coming in, kind of that main lobby area.
Okay.
So you'll be able to see that. We're going to have some kids' characters here and some photo opportunities. And we'll have a couple
Who
of minions.
Who else is going to be here?
We'll have some minions running around. Goofy's going to be here.
Goofy?
Olaf is
Olaf.
Going to be here. And I called and checked today and confirmed R2-D2 will be here. So we're going to have...
Is
we're
he going to have a Santa hat on or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Same as last year. So he R2-D2 will be here. And
if you've never met R2-D2, like, this is legit. Somebody's like, listening right now going, okay, Chad, sure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
it's legit.
And the way I met this guy's name is Steve. Real nice guy. We were at the premiere of one of the Star Wars movies, and he
of
had
course.
There out in the lobby. And I came up to him. I'm like, will you please come to church with me and bring R2 with you? And he's like, absolutely. Because that's why he built it, was to take it to
that's
events
so
like this
yeah.
and have fun with it.
That's cool.
So that's
going
to happen. And then obviously we've got our Christmas photo booths
and
set
if
up.
You've never been to this before, when Chad talks about the characters going around, like, your kids love to get their pictures made
oh,
with
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's great because you don't have to go stand in line.
That's right.
To get, like, they're walking around, and
yeah.
you
right,
can just
yeah.
casually go up to them and
yeah.
take a picture. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
it's really nice
yeah.
that way.
And then we've got our Christmas photo booths, and we're going to have photographers here, professional photographers, and they will take your picture for free, as many as you'd like. And we'll have some props and things like that, some very, very merry Christmas props.
Yeah.
And then we'll upload those later to a website where you can go and download your pictures. And you'll find we'll communicate all that information and where
That's
that will
so
be.
Cool, man.
Yeah, probably VaughnForest.com/Christmas pictures.
Hey,
very easy.
I like
and
it.
and then that way we'll upload them to Facebook, all that kind of stuff. So
That's
it's
cool,
it's going to be a good time. We're going to have we have some candy canes for the kids.
Okay.
Yep. So they'll enjoy that.
Do the adults get them too?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll yeah maybe just, under we'll, the table.
Okay.
We'll slip some candy canes to some people.
Getting candy canes under the table.
That's great.
That's right. But it's going to be so much fun. And I know your kids are going to love it. You'll have a good time at it. And bring your family and friends. I mean,
yeah.
it's a great opportunity. And obviously, Matt, we'll have great Christmas worship music.
Yeah.
We're going to be continuing our message series, The Promise of Christmas.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a really, really fun Sunday that our folks are not going to want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also talked about we have a Christmas Eve service coming up, and it's going to be a little bit different this year.
Yeah. So whether it's this Sunday or whether it's Christmas Eve, don't be shy about inviting your unchurched friends to
yeah.
these types
yeah.
of things. I would love us all to invite unchurched people who need to meet Jesus, to church every Sunday of the year.
Right.
Okay. But realistically, people who are unchurched and they're non-believers,
mm-hmm.
they're not always thinking about church or,
right.
you know, I should check that out.
Right.
But during the Christmas season, you know, during the Easter season, like, that's on their radar.
Yeah, they're definitely
so it's
about
not.
It.
I mean, it's not socially awkward for you
right.
to say, hey, would y'all like to join us this Sunday at church? There's going to be some fun things there.
That's right.
Would
yeah.
y'all like to join? Do you have any plans Christmas Eve? Would y'all like to join us? Our church is doing a Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.
It's a pretty casual thing to do that we're not then going to embarrass you when your unchurched friends come with you.
Right.
It's going to be enjoyable. They're
yeah.
going to have a good time. And listen, they're going to hear about Jesus too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
this teaching series that we're doing where we're talking about, you know, God's word prophesying and predicting the birth of Jesus Christ and what that means for us today,
mm-hmm.
you know, that might be the first step towards them accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we forget this so many times. It takes someone hearing the gospel message clearly presented on average 7 times before they are even ready to respond.
Right.
So,
yeah.
you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, if you did any type of evangelism training, the end-all be-all was to measure conversions. And that's typically how evangelism gets discussed. I mean, even to this day, you'll hear somebody talking about who they led to Christ on an airplane or at a restaurant or at a ball game or, you know, anywhere. And right. then, you know, folks who haven't done that think, man, you know, I must not be cut out for that. I'm not good enough to do that. I don't know enough about the Bible to share my faith. And what the paradigm that I've been trying to shift now for 20 years mm-hmm. in ministry has been, let's stop measuring conversions and start measuring conversations. Now, I didn't come up with that. I read that in a book and went, yep, that's what I'm going to spend 20 years trying to do, okay? Right. I'm not smart enough to come up with a phrase that well. But if you think that way as a Christian, sharing your faith becomes a little easier.
Yeah.
It's a conversation. It's an invite. It's a in the Christmas season. What are we talking about? And we do these things to help make that easier.
Right.
This Christmas party, we could do it on a Friday night. We've done it before on a Friday night.
That's right.
We may do it again on a Friday night sometime. Yeah. This year we're doing it on a Sunday. So take advantage of that. You might actually, through an invite, make a difference in someone's eternity because they come here to meet Olaf and they end up hearing about Jesus.
That's right.
But we're not doing it in like a bait and switch kind of way. You know, it's not going to be weird or anything like that. So, this Sunday, and then Christmas Eve, same way. We're going to do the old school candlelight Christmas Eve service where you have a real candle, not the battery powered ones, the one you have to light.
Yeah.
And you pass it down, you light your neighbor's candle and make sure just the candle you light. And you know, and I grew up going to Christmas Eve services that way.
Yeah.
So I've got a little bit of nostalgia in me this year. Like, I want to do that. Right.
Yeah.
So
we're
going to have that. And, you know, Matt and his team are going to have some songs that are going to be awesome. You know, I'm going to have a brief message. It's not going to be as long as a sermon. I'm trying to be mindful of the fact that I'm telling people, I want you to bring your kids.
Yeah.
I want them to be there. It's okay if they're a little rowdy. And just like as a side note, it's kind of that way every Sunday at Vaughn Ford.
Right. Right.
We're not one of those churches that, you know, we don't let kids in here because somebody might hear them.
Right.
So it's okay.
Oh, no.
But when the family gets together, the kids make a little bit of noise.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And, I mean,
cool.
your pastor lives in a house with three boys. So I'm used to
it's
talking
right
over loud kids. It doesn't bother me one bit. But I've been the parent before in a room with one of my children when they were little, a toddler, making a lot of noise. And you're like, oh, man, I got to get them out of here.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I understand
Everyone's
that.
Looking at
I got to understand that. I understand that feeling. But yeah, seriously, bring them.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. And it'll be an encouraging time. It'll be a good time. And then it will be an opportunity. And I talked about this on Sunday, and I'll talk about it until Christmas Eve, and then I won't talk about it again. But it is fun to see our whole church family together in one room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after everything we've been through, you know, in the last 18 to 19 months. It's been 2 years since our entire church family has been together at one time.
Wow.
And I'm looking forward to that more than anything else.
Yeah.
Seeing I know some people will be traveling, but as many people that call Vaughn Forest home as possible, being together in one room at one time, you know, Christmas Eve, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that component as well. And then we'll be, moving to the new year.
Yeah.
So lots of fun things happening, but I'm super excited about the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And real quick, our Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m., family friendly.
Yep.
And like you said, we'll have candles and all kinds of, it's going to be a great time.
And we will broadcast it online. We know not everybody can make it, but we're hoping as many people as possible can be here.
And then real quick, just because I want to touch on this before we wrap up, because we said we need to mention it quite a bit, December 26th and January 2nd. Can you tell us a little bit about those days?
So December 26th is online only,
right?
Which means sometime that morning, we probably should clarify, like, is it going to be 9:30, 11? Is it going to be 8 o'clock? Because it'll just be online. And we're going to pre-record that. So Matt and I are going to pre-record that so that it's ready to go. So Matt's team can also have that Sunday to just be with their families. So it'll be online only. And then January 2nd, it'll just be 9:30.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll be back here on our campus at 9:30, but we're not going to do the 11 o'clock service that day. And we'll broadcast it online as well. So the big reason for that is quite frankly, just to give our volunteers a little bit of a break.
Right.
Because we've got a good number of people in our church that serve just about every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, you know, sometimes have intended, I'll serve one Sunday, take the next Sunday off, serve one Sunday, take the next Sunday off. But like our kids ministry continues to grow. We had record attendance in our kids ministry, you know, either this Sunday or the Sunday before. Like, I mean, wow. It's, so yeah. when that's happening, you know, you're kind of like, okay, I'll be back next Sunday.
Yeah.
You know?
So
we've just got a lot of people who do that to make our church go. Yeah. And clearly, I mean, the folks you guys lead.
Yeah, right. We got good folks leading.
Absolutely.
That.
I mean, most people wouldn't know, like, y'all are it as far as like who are we actually paying to show up,
right,
you know? Yeah. I mean, y'all have to. Sorry, guys. But, you know, everybody else, like they're volunteering their time. And
good folks.
They don't get here at 9:25.
No.
Right.
They're here early. Yeah. And they're, you know, so.
Some of them super early.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's a gift to them. You know, hey, during this time of the year, we can still, thankfully, you know, offer worship services and still connect together as a church family online.
Yeah.
But then it gives them a little time.
Right.
And, but because when we hit January 9th, I mean, it's back and going.
That's right.
You know, full speed ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be a nice little thing for our volunteers towards the end of the year. But then, you know, just as a reminder, I like to start saying this every time this year because— honestly, I've been surprised over the years how many people just didn't know this. But, you know, when it comes December, it's time to get your end of the year giving in.
Right.
You know, you don't want to delay giving, whether it's to the regular tithes and offerings or whether it's to our Christmas offering, because if you give after December 31st, that's not going to go towards your charitable giving for tax purposes for the year of 2021.
Yeah.
So it's a good time of the year to look at that.
Right.
And, you know, some years you may look at it and go, well, it would actually be really advantageous for me to make a large financial gift before the end of the year for reasons I don't fully understand because that's not my area of expertise.
Sure.
But, you know, certainly want to make sure people do that and plan for that and know, like, okay, if we're not going to be here on campus and you like to give in person, you're going to need to, you know, give maybe this Sunday or the next Sunday or go ahead and give online,
gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you've got a good plan for all of those things. Because we want to finish the year strong financially. Our church is in an amazing place financially. Incredible. It's such a blessing as a pastor. I don't have to talk about giving because, like, we're behind on budget again. No, things are going really well.
Yeah.
But what it does is it allows us to tackle the first quarter of next year full steam ahead.
Got
right?
it.
Yeah.
And so with the Christmas offering, with our regular giving, super excited about that. And December is a big month for that as well. So lots of good things happening in the month of December.
Yeah, man.
And I'm viewing them in the faith of what's to come in the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I believe lots of good things are going to happen in January and in February and in March and April. And it's just really fun right now. We're having a good time and God's blessing and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Praise God. It is a great time. And I think that's going to be a good place for us to kind of wrap up today. And so thank you for tuning in. Again, Vaughn Forrest, we cannot thank you enough for your generosity, especially this past weekend. And we're looking forward, like Adam said, to all that God's going to be doing in the next few weeks, months, and years. And so, we'll wrap it up there. And on behalf of Adam Bishop, Matt Collins, Sound Guy Harley, and myself, we'd like to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And we will catch you guys next time.